I got two titles. It's either possessing the land or possess the land, or it's defeating the Anakin. Which maybe I like that title just a little bit better, but possessing the land is what we're talking about. And I want to talk just a little bit out of the book of Joshua. I've got some points and some things I would like to say out of the book of Joshua. I think that there are some lessons for us out of that book. There are some lessons for us out of the, as Bruce referred to in that scripture in Corinthians, these things happened as examples to us. These things happened. So when we talk about Joshua, when we talk about possessing the land, I mean, and these people were soldiers, you know, Joshua was leading the people of God. They were going to war. I'm not saying as Christians in 2010 or 2011 or whatever, that means, you know, get out there and polish up your guns because, you know, we need to form a militia and all the rest of it. And the reason I say that is because there are some people in this country who apparently believe that and believe that that is some kind of expression of Christianity. I totally disagree. I don't think that's what Jesus taught us to do. But there were some people who were arrested over in Michigan not too long ago, and that's exactly what they said. And people said, oh, he's a Christian fundamentalist. Actually, I resent that very strongly. They're not. That isn't Christian. Jesus didn't say that is how we bring in the kingdom of God. He said if it was, you know, then my disciples would fight. But they didn't. So, you know, let's just keep things in perspective here. So we are going to be talking about battle. We are going to be talking about the enemies that Israel had to overcome in possessing the land. But I believe that there are lessons for us out of that. There are lessons for us out of the things that happened to them that are very important lessons. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've given us this book. You've given us your word, Lord Jesus, to guide us. Lord, not just to guide us, but Lord, your word in us, Lord, is what has given us new life. And Lord, I thank you that we have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. Those of us who know you, Lord, we have been... Something miraculous has happened, Lord. Lord, your word, the living word of God, is in us. But Lord, it's also given to us in the form of a book, Lord, that we can refer to, that we have had that passed down to us because of the faithfulness of people who've gone on. And so we have this book for which people have given their lives for. And that's the reason we can hold this book in our hand. And sometimes we miss the significance of that. We live in a day when, you know, I've got a bookshelf through there, and I got a lot of copies of the Bible on my bookshelf. But people gave their life that we could even have the Word of God in our hands. So, Lord, we thank you for this Word. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive from you today as we get into this Word in Jesus' name. All right, I want to, first of all, sort of overview just a little bit. We've got a few stops along the way as we go there. Let's go and review just briefly a little bit of the history of the children of Israel. The children of Israel, as we know, went down into Egypt. They went to Egypt voluntarily and remained in Egypt some approximately 400 years. But by the time it came time they wanted to leave, they had become captives. And the Lord had to send a deliverer in the shape of Moses with the help of Aaron to lead them out of Egypt on the way to the promised land. There is a saying that is sometimes used by people. They say of the Lord, he brought us out to bring us in. We can apply that to ourselves. He's brought us out of something, but we're on the way to somewhere. We're going in to the promised land. And that, of course, comes out of the story of the children of Israel who Moses brought out of Egypt, but there was a purpose and an intent, and the intent was to bring him in. But as you will be aware, if you're aware of the story, is they spent 40 years in the wilderness between coming out of Egypt and starting to go into the promised land. They weren't God's intention was not that they spend 40 years in the wilderness. But the reason they spent 40 years in the wilderness was a judgment. And the judgment was after they sent spies into the land to investigate the land. 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes, went in to spy out the land. And 10 of them came back. And the response of 10 of them, well, they all came back, but 10 of them said, well, we can't go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And all the people who we saw there are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. That's what they said. You can read that in Numbers. That was the response of 10 of them. That was not the response of 2 of them. Caleb and Joshua disagreed totally. Caleb said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So democracy didn't work very well for them, because they entered into the judgment of God, because they decided, Israel decided they would go with the 10. They were going to stone the others, Joshua and Caleb. And God said, fine, you ain't going in. Stay in the wilderness then. Because they refused. And so God wouldn't let them go in. And then they changed their mind and wanted to go in after that. And God said, no, you can't go in now. You haven't gone when I commanded you to go, and you're going to wait. And you're going to wait until the whole generation of you dies. A generation died in the wilderness. And there's something about that whole thing which is, I'm just going to mention in passing, but don't refuse the Lord. You know, when the Lord says do something, do it. It doesn't matter if it seems impossible to you. Don't refuse him. They spent 40 years in the wilderness because they refused the Lord. Interestingly enough, though, and there's something about the grace of God in all of that, the manna and the fact that their shoes never wore out went on for the whole 40 years. So even though they were experiencing judgment from God, they were at the same time experiencing his provision. And, you know, the goodness and the severity of God. God is, there are things that we need to take seriously about the Lord. But at the same time, God is providing for his people. There is a provision that was made by God for his people. So we're now 40 years later. The tape is wound forward 40 years. And what we discover at that point in time, you see, I can sort of relate to this idea of the wilderness. You know, they're on the road. It actually says, while they were in about the 40-year period, the Bible calls this place they were in that great and terrible wilderness. Kind of interesting description in the Bible of that. They spent 40 years on the road in the wilderness. Now, I've only been 2 years nearly since I moved out of my little house in America Avenue, and I'm trying to get into my land up there, and I haven't quite made it yet. So I've only been 2 years on the road of that little journey, and we're thankful that we're camping at the church at the moment. But we're on a journey too, and I can sort of relate to some of these issues of, you know, being on the move all the time a little bit. But they were 40 years at it. That's a long time. That really is a long time. I think that probably the significance of that probably doesn't, you know, we read it, but I don't think it totally hits us. As I was looking at this story, I realized the other day that Joshua was 80 years old when he was, the leadership baton was handed to him. Moses didn't actually get into the promised land. The reason he didn't get in was because Moses had hit the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. And God said, well, you're not going to enter the land for that. You can see the land. He went up on a mountain and looked into the land. Can we have that next slide? please, Sam? There's a map, and you can. The reason I'm going to, you can see over here. He was over here, over on the far right. So because they came into the promised land from behind, if you like. The Mediterranean Sea is on the left of the picture. They were coming in from behind, and there were mountains up there on that side that Moses was allowed by God to look into the land, but he didn't actually enter it until later. Remember, he did come into the land later on. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. He did get into the land. He just didn't get in then. So even if you've been in a situation where you might have had to wait for something for a while, and the Lord may have held you up for something else, you know, you're going to get in, all right? Moses did get in, and even though that was a judgment on him for something, but he did get in. So they're now ready to enter the land. And Joshua, who's now 80, and I want to say that gives me a lot of hope, because they waited. Yeah, I'm not 80 yet, Louis. I don't know. Are you 80? No. Huh? I haven't got that far yet. But that gives me hope. So that means that there's still opportunity. You know, we live in an age which says that if you're a young guy, the world's before you, but, you know, what about if you're an old guy? Well, I think I take encouragement from the story of Joshua. He he didn't pass till he was 110 years of age, and he'd taken them in and helped them possess the land. So that encourages me. Now, as somebody mentioned, I think it was Adam, he talked about, well, before we get to the circumcision, they had to cross the River Jordan. And crossing the Jordan was, you know, there was a miracle happened for them to cross the Jordan. As the Levites stood into what were instructed to step down into the water stopped. And it stopped further up, upstream at a place called Adam. Really, it refers to the cutting off and the whole idea of redemption that God did, the cutting off of sin, the dealing with sin. That's what it actually really all refers to, but it was cut off further up. But anyway, they went into the land, and they crossed the Jordan, and they had to pick up memorial stones out of the bed of the river. They set those up, and then they stopped at Gilgal, and they had the circumcision at Gilgal, because this whole, yeah, all the old guys except for Joshua and Caleb had passed, but the young guys, they had never been circumcised. Now, circumcision was about the sign of the covenant that Israel had with God. It's about being in a covenant relationship with God. Unfortunately, we don't, although we have the language of covenant in our real estate, you know, Adam and Cheryl, we'll deal with that in your work, and we have plenty of covenant in our legal language. The only thing is, people break them all the time in the world in which we live today. We're not supposed to break covenant with God. And the whole thing of covenant was about, really, it was about being devoted to the Lord, about sanctifying themselves, but it was about a wholehearted, single-eyed devotion to God. A little bit like Danielle was talking about. This, you know, be focused on what you're supposed to do here. But it was first being focused on the Lord and letting all of the stuff of, in that case, it was what was the Bible calls it the reproach of Egypt. Gilgal, the rolling away, the cutting off, the circumcision. Sometimes the Bible uses such graphic words. I mean, you're like, it's most shocking. But it is rolled away, and it is a cutting off of the flesh, and it's a cutting off of, really, you know, in Christ, we die to ourselves. It's a dying to the self. It's not living for me anymore. It's living for Jesus Christ. And that was what was renewed. Now, that is important in terms of possessing the land, because you cannot possess the land, or I cannot possess the land that God has for us in my strength and my ability, or I can't even possess it if it's, well, it's all for me. It's unless it's for the Lord, you can't do it. And that's for my, you know, if it's for my flesh, then it's no good either. So going on, we have the Battle of Jericho. And we know a little bit about the Battle of Jericho. You know, they had to march. Before that, they sent in spies. And there's the story of how the spies stayed with this lady who was a prostitute. And she hid them. And in return for that, she knew they were coming in. She said, when you come in, will you save my life and my family's life? And they said, one condition. When we come in, you've got to hang a red cord out of the window, because she lived on the wall. And you've got to hang that red cord out of the window. And that was the same cord she let them down to escape. But she also said, they also, the Israelites, said to Rahab, you've got to have your whole family in there. If they're not in there and there's no red cord, no deal. Obviously, they had a deal, because Rahab appears in the lineage of Jesus. Talk about redemption. This is a lady who's running a brothel, but she ends up, because of the redemption of Jesus, signified by that red cord, she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. She ends up mentioned in the Bible later on, again in the New Testament. That tells us that it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter what has gone on in your life. If you come to Jesus, he totally redeems you. And you come right into his purposes. So there's something precious and wonderful about that. Okay, so that was before the Battle of Jericho, by the way. Then we come on to the Battle of Jericho. And then they come in. So they're coming in from this side. And there's, first of all, They had a little bit of a problem after Jericho. They had Ai. And then they went south down there into Judah, had a thrust south, and then they went north. And divide and conquer was the whole idea. The Canaanites were in the land, so it was divide and conquer. I want, first of all, to just go to the book of Joshua for a minute. And let's look at chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. And note how many times this is repeated in this chapter. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Again, no, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you'll cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed in all your mighty men of valor and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so will heed you. Only the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Well, there was a reason they had to be strong and of good courage. They were entering the land of the giants. These 10 people were not wrong that there were giants in the land. It was a good land. It was overflowing with milk and honey. There was, you know, huge grapes and all kinds of other good things in the land. But it was a land of giants. And there are giants in our land. There are giants in the places that we are called to possess. So we've got to know what it is that God has called us to do. We've got to know our calling. We've got to know who we are in Jesus Christ. New Testament speaks of the whole creation groans, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. We are the sons of God. But it is the sons of God coming in to their inheritance. Now, some of that inheritance, you know, the new body part of the inheritance is not coming till Jesus comes back. Then we get transformed bodies and we get to rule over however many cities you may get to rule over. You know, it depends, I guess, on how well we've done in this period. That's the way I judge it, that it's a kind of reward. So there's part of this inheritance that's to come. But there is a great deal that we can press into and receive from the Lord here and now. There's that which we've got to press into in the Spirit and take a hold of, that which is given to us, but we've got to press in. We've got to possess the land. He's given it to us, but there are giants in many of the places that God has called us to possess, and we have got to face the giants. And I want to talk a little bit about these giants, because these giants, Caleb is the man I appreciate so much, because Caleb is Joshua's buddy. Here, the two of them were the 12 spies, but the two who came back with a good report were Caleb and Joshua. Well, Caleb, you know, once they get into the land and they've started to push south and push north and somewhere in all of that, their base was at this place called Gilgal. And I find that interesting. Joshua's base was at Gilgal. Gilgal was the first place they stopped at after they'd crossed the Jordan. So they're coming over. The Jordan is the river that runs straight down the middle there. So the Dead Sea is the bottom end of the river, and the top end, the other little piece of water, and that the Jordan comes right down there, right? So when they came in from this side, and they're going that way. In context, they were going west, right? And just if you put it in the north, south, east, west, but from the point of view of the moment, we're going from the right side of the map as you're looking at it to the left side. So the other side of Jordan is where they had their camp. There was Gilgal there, and that was just across Jordan. That was where the circumcision happened. It was the place of rededication to the Lord. That was the place that Joshua kept his camp. Very important. I think we need to remember that's a very good place for us to camp at, a place of continual dedication and rededication to the Lord. It's a good place to come back to. They went out from that camp and then they came back there again. And we need to return to our place of dedication to the Lord. We, you know, remember our vows, and sometimes we, you know, we get veer off a little bit and we got to come back. Lord, I'm rededicating, and now, because that, so that was where they camped at. But at this place, Gilgal, after they'd been doing some taking of the land, Caleb comes to Joshua and says, you remember what the Lord said to me when we were there in, actually, we should look this up. This is, let's go to Joshua 13, I think it is, or 14, somewhere there.
Sorry, it's 14.
Verse 6, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So they were 40 years in the wilderness, and I assume that they'd already been cranking through the land, taking territory for a further 5 years, because he's now 85 years of age. So they've come in, they've thrust to the south, they've thrust to the north, and then Joshua had returned to the camp at Gilgal, and now Caleb's come to him at Gilgal, and he says, remember the promise? God, you remember how God promised me every place where the sole of my foot trod? And and there was a particular place he wanted. So he said, now I am where I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, this is the phrase I love. Give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke to me in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. Gave Hebron to Caleb. Hebron is down here a little bit, just to the left of the Dead Sea there, if you can see it. I should have one of those pointer things, but I don't. But it's down there anyway. And if you look on the topographical map here, so Hebron is about there. But if you see on the topographical map, it's in the hill country. It would be a difficult place militarily to attack, and that was possessed by the giants, the Anakim. And it tells us a little bit later on in Joshua chapter 15, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, in verse 14, Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there. These were the descendants of giants. These were tough people to deal with. Oh, you got a pointer? Good man. All right. This is cool. All right. Okay. Thank you. Which one is the green one? No, that one, the middle one. All right, there's a pointer. Okay. So it's there, and it's there somewhere, pretty much. So he battles these giants. Now, who were these giants? I want to talk a little bit about these giants for just a minute, because, first of all, I think it's kind of interesting about these giants. Genesis 6, verse 4 tells us, I'll quote to you, I'll read it to you, there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Well, that's a very odd verse. I mean, we pass over it. We don't very much talk about that verse. But that, what is that saying? What scholars understand that to be saying is that there were fallen angels who came and slept with the women of the sons of men and produced giants in offspring. That's what they understand it to be saying. I'm quoting from one particular Bible teacher who's written about this, a man called Chuck Missler. He said, the strange events recorded in Genesis 6 were understood by ancient rabbinical sources as well as the Septuagint translators, that's the Greek version of the Bible, the Septuagint, as referring to fallen angels procreating weird hybrid offspring with human women. These offspring were known as the Nephilim. So it was also understood by the early church fathers. These bizarre events are also echoed in the legends and myths of every ancient culture upon the earth, the ancient Greeks, the Egyptians, the Hindus, the South Sea Islanders, the American Indians, and virtually all the others. I wonder where we really get Paul Bunyan from. Could it be? may not be so far-fetched. It's in the American Indian culture. It's about giants and stuff like that. It's all here. But what were they? God wants these monstrosity people driven out of the land. And Caleb was not afraid to take them on. He takes them on at 85 years of age and he kicks them out. He gets them out. And we have to be willing to fight giants. You know, we look at the story of David and Goliath, because he was a descendant of these. You see, they didn't get rid of them all at that point. That was a bit later on in life, and he's still dealing with a giant. We have to be willing to fight giants, not just one giant. You know, the story of David, I think the story of David and Goliath in our popular I won't call it Christian mythology because it's not quite the right way to say it. But in our popular conception, well, yeah, David fought Goliath, and it's he's the only giant that was ever fought, and yeah, he's the one that did it, and that's done, dusted, and finished. But when you actually read the story of David and his men, they were fighting giants. It wasn't the only giant he fought. There were several more. But these guys were fighting giants too. Now, what are giants? Giants are supernaturally empowered people, but supernaturally on the evil side. See, it's no accident for me that in Star Wars, we change, it's Anakin and Anakin. We only change one letter, but Darth Vader was Anakin. Remember that? That's the name of these giants. I don't think that's an accident, but, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Who knows? I think it's not an insignificant point. They were fighting people who were demonically empowered, supernaturally empowered by evil power. Well, hello, that is exactly what we're facing today. That is exactly what we're facing today. We're facing people in positions even of government and authority that seem to be driven by some other force in some places. What is going on? We are in the same kind of battles. That is what we have to deal with in the spiritual realm. And we need to wake up and realize that is what we're facing, folks. And you can't deal with this stuff by being pussyfooting around. You have to go in there and take it. Caleb was a man, and Joshua, both described in the scripture as men of a different spirit. And we have to be men and women of a different spirit. We have to be of a different spirit to the age in which we live. We have to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the different spirit that we have to be men and women of. And we have to understand the currents of the age in which we live and understand that those are not the currents that are to move us. There's many currents flowing through in this age that we need to be aware of and be understanding where they're coming from and what's going on here. We've got to, you know, one man of God says you need to read books outside of the age in which you live. Read books that were written 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Read old books because they're written outside. If you read a book that was written in the last 5 years, all of the currents of the age are flowing through it in some way or another. I mean, I'm not saying there's not good books written by Christians in this age, but I'm just saying we need to read outside of the age because we get a different perspective. I know it's a little harder to read older books, but it's not a bad thing. We need to understand some of the issues that are going on. And what, if you listen to the currents of the age, sin's not really the problem. That's not true. The problem is that we are fallen beings. That is the problem. And if we don't, you know, we can do all kinds of things to try and fix the problems of the world that we live in. But if we don't understand that fundamental issue, that it is that we are fallen beings and we have a sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam. If we blank on that, I don't matter the best, you can come up with the best fixes you can try to fix for all the social ills in our age. And they don't work because you ignore what the Bible says about it. You ignore the truth of the Word of God. And if that truth is ignored, we ain't getting any place. So as much as we listen to things that are said in this age about how we can fix this problem or that problem that our country and other countries are experiencing right now, social problems, and there's many, if we don't come back to God's answer, we've got no answer. So we've got to see it through God's lens. And if we don't see through God's lens, we don't see straight. We've got to understand the battle that we're in. And that battle is pretty much affects our minds. The battle of these individuals who went in there was, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Well, they weren't grasshoppers. They were the children of Israel. They were called by God to possess that land. And you and I are not grasshoppers. But we still get hit by that stuff. Oh, you're nothing. You're actually, yes, I am. I'm a son of the living God. But we can be made to feel, you Christians, you're trash. What? You're bringing out all that old stuff about sin? And we can be made to feel like, who are we? And we start backing up. And we shouldn't back up. We mustn't back up. We have a message for a dying culture. Because, face it, our culture is a dying culture. Without Jesus Christ, it's a dying culture. And let's be realistic about what is going on. I mean, just look at the social problems in our culture. They're terrible. They're drastic. Our inner cities are like war zones. But unless we face up to what the answer to the problem is, we're not going to, that's the only way we've got answers. And the answer is, there's hope in Jesus Christ. But if we're new to the gospel, and if the gospel that we have is, it doesn't preach a radical devotion to Jesus Christ, it just adds something on top. Well, he's just another way to God. And we have mainline denominations now who've changed their theology to say Jesus is not the only way to God. He's just one of many ways to God. That is doing exactly what these guys were forbidden to do, is to go and worship the gods that were already in the land. And that's just adding their stuff to our stuff, or our stuff to their stuff. That's not the answer. And we can't do that. We mustn't do that. So, we are not grasshoppers. We have to continue, we have to devote ourselves to the calling and the purpose of God for our life. To have the vision that God gives us. He has a vision for your life. And we have to continue moving forward in spite of obstacles. One of the problems is that there are obstacles. When God gives them the land, there were obstacles. They had to cross Jordan. They had to deal with the walled cities. And then they had to deal with the giants. There are obstacles. Go out there and start praying for sick people, and you'll realize there are obstacles. There's a spiritual battle going on to get people healed. But it doesn't mean we should give up the fight. Oh, well, it must not have been the will of God, so we abandon it at that point. We need to press in. We need to press through. And we need to keep hanging in there. Oh, well, we didn't get it, so give up. Let's not give up. There are obstacles. But we must press on. We're not going to give up at the first turn. And we got to hang in there. We got to keep pressing in. Possessing the land. They were told that they were going to possess the land little by little. Exodus 23:30. says, little by little I'll drive them out from before you. Well, actually, verse 29. Actually, I like verse 28. Actually, I'm going back a little, 27. I'll send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. Can you imagine that? Can you actually imagine that? we're in here. We're coming through, and we're the armies of Israel, right? So we're marching on. This is the hill country. This is not quite jungle, but it's not easy going. I mean, and we're fighting our way through these bushes and all this stuff, and we're going to go and fight these people. And God sends hornets ahead of them to torment these people. Can you imagine being one of these people that the armies of Israel are coming, and all of a sudden these hornets are attacking you, and God sent them? I mean, talk about drones and predator drones and all the rest of it. I mean, hornets. God sent them. See, when God is for you, he does some supernatural stuff for you. And anyway, the hornets, where I was. Send hornets before you, which will drive out the Hivites. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I'll drive them out from you, from before you, until you have increased and you inherit the land. Keep going forward. Move forward in spite of the obstacles. Possess the land. God may have given you a vision. God may have put things in your heart for your life. And they may take a while in coming. But do not give up. Keep true, hold on to the vision that God has given to you and keep pressing into him. Do not give up. It may be little by little, but keep going, keep going, keep going. We live in a time when if it doesn't come instantly, we give it up. But that is not how those people who pioneered this land operated. They pressed in, and they had many. I mean, I've talked to some people who came up here and pioneered up here, and they were some pretty tough times, but they pressed in there. They hang in there, and as a result, the land is as it is today. But we have got to press in what God has called us to. I think that we've got to keep on with our possessing of the land of this building that God's given us as a church here. We're getting some of the rooms the way we want them, but we've still got some more rooms that we're still working on here. So, and it's a big building, and you can think, whoa, how are we going to manage it? But we will get there. We will get there. But we've got to keep going, little by little. We've got to keep at it. And God may have spoken some things to you. God may have given you some hopes and dreams for your life, for your ministry. Don't give up because they haven't come to pass yet. Hold on to the vision that God has given to you. Be strong and be courageous, Joshua was told at the beginning. If we jump now to Joshua chapter 13, begins by saying, Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years. There remains very much land yet to be possessed. And then he divvies up the land between all the tribes and so on. And then we go on to the end of the book of Joshua. I'm going to read you Joshua's farewell address. Now it came to pass, this is from chapter 23, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old and advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and for their judges and for the officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You've seen all that the Lord your God has done to you, has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore be very courageous to keep and do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from the left hand or the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, those who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you've done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he is who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do, go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but there shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts that in all your souls, and in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. All the promises of God, it tells us in the New Testament, are yes and amen. I've heard of too many people and seen it too often where people, oh well, we prayed and they didn't get healed. I guess the Lord doesn't heal. I'm discouraged. Give up. Just because it doesn't happen the first time you pray for it does not mean that the Lord's promises failed. But there's plenty of people out there today, Christians, who believe the Lord has failed them, who believe the Lord's promises have failed. God's promises don't fail. There may be different reasons why different things happen to us, but God's promises do not fail. And we have to keep our eyes on the Lord and not on the circumstances in that situation, because His promises don't fail. We may go through trials and tribulations. We may go through battles. That is actually what the children of Israel went through. And we can experience there will be trials as well. Sometimes it's because we've got a wrong idea of what God is even... our expectation of what God will do isn't even biblical in the situation. But we need to have an understanding that God's promises do not fail. They will not fail. Now, what we learn, if we were to go on into the book of Judges, is that they actually didn't fully possess the land. They stopped short. They did not go on into all that God had for them. And it tells us in Judges 1:27 of how Manasseh didn't drive out these inhabitants and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And then in verse 28, they were not completely driven out. And there's many places where they remained, and they were allowed to remain, and then that came back and bit them later on. In the time of David and later, they were battling against Canaanites and Philistines and all the rest of it. They were still battling these individuals later on. We have to keep going. Don't stop short. Somebody once said to me that the sins of omission are worse than the sins of commission. You know, we worry about the things that you've done that you shouldn't have done, but actually the bigger issues are the things that you should have done that you didn't do. And there's a lot of truth in that. Sometimes there's things that we should have done that we've never done at all. And those are maybe bigger problems than the things that we know that we've done wrong. We've got to press on, we've got to keep going, and we've got to do all that God has called us to do. And there are things, maybe there are things that God has called us to do as a body here. Maybe there are things that God spoke to you about individually. I just encourage you to go back, look at those things, find out what the Lord said to you to do, and make sure that you're doing it. Make sure that you're not just ignoring it, not even maybe deliberately. You maybe just forgot. I mean, that can happen, you know. And we can just forget certain things, and then the Lord has to remind us again. So let's just be encouraged to hang on to the things that the Lord has said to us. I think we need to hang on to what he said to us as a body, but I think we need to hang on to what he said to us individually. And know that there is a grace from heaven to enable us to do this. Because, you know, an 85-year-old guy that goes out there and takes on giants, I think he had help. I think he had help from heaven. And that gives me hope. Whatever our condition is, there's help for us. There's help for now. You're a giant. You may be battling with some addiction in your life. That may be a giant to you. You may be battling with some other issue in your family. You may be battling with something else. Maybe you're battling with a physical battle, sickness or something. But whatever it is, I want to encourage you to stand firm in Jesus Christ. Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God, for our battle is not with flesh and blood. I want to finish up by reading that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Before I get to that, I just want to repeat this. Know your calling, know who you are, devote yourself to it, continue to move forward in spite of the obstacles, and possess the land. Don't give up. All right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There is a time for us to speak boldly. There is a time for us to speak up. There is a time for us to say our piece. A lot of time, we need to listen to people, we need to hear, but there are times for us to step out and speak up and to trust, to be bold, be strong and courageous, and trust that as we do that, the Lord is with us. That we overcome the fears that come to us to tell us that we, whatever reason, to try and discourage us from going forward. The discouragements are many, but the encouragement of the Lord, he's the God of all encouragement, is greater than every discouragement that can come against us. And they can come in many forms. They can come with vehicles giving you a problem. They can come, you know, financial issues. All kinds of things can come against us. But God is the God of all encouragement to encourage us to fulfill that which he's called us to fulfill. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray for us today, Lord, that you would help us in going in and possessing the land that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, in seeing people healed by you, in seeing the power of the gospel released into this culture in which we live, in seeing the power of Jesus at work in our lives to touch other people's around us. Lord, as we pray, as we press in, as we look to you, to help us even as a body with this building, Lord. Lord, encourage us. Give us the encouragement and the strength that we need to go forward. Because, Lord, you have an inheritance for us. And, Lord, your intent is that we should fulfill everything that you want us to fulfill. Lord, remind us if we've forgotten. Remind me Lord, I'm sure there are things that I have forgotten that I should be doing that I haven't done. Lord, remind me. Lord, help me not to give up on things, not to just somehow forget them in all the things that are going on. Lord, help us to press in. Because, Lord, there is a lost world, a world that without you is not going on a good road. There are people that need answers from heaven. And Lord, as Danielle is working in California, helping those families and individuals who have need of food, Lord, we just are glad that she's doing that. And Lord, we want to bless her as she goes back to keep going with that work, Lord, to see those lives changed. But Lord, as we do the same things here in a maybe in a different way, but Lord, we ask that you would help us to keep going. Lord, the Meals on Wheels things and other things that we do, Lord, that we want to be a ministration of your Spirit to people. Lord, as we have the soup kitchen here, hosting that in our building on Tuesdays and Mondays and Tuesdays, Lord. Lord, as there are different things that we're each involved in with people, Lord, help us to be bold and courageous. Lord, to pray for people when you're stirring us to do that. To speak a word in season, Lord, as you call us to do that. Lord, to pray for our friends and our neighbors. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to stir us up and, Lord, to keep us focused on what you've called us to do, that we might finish the task that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody needs prayer for physical needs or any other need, be happy to pray for anybody. Chris and I, and perhaps some other people will help too. If there's people with those needs, we'd be glad to do that. So, amen.